Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game, call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. Today I am back after a little bit of a hiatus with another crossover collab episode with my friend Christina Montalvo. And today we are doing the Ted Lasso episode, all things related to the show Ted Lasso. If you've not seen that show, first of all, what rock have you been hiding under? Go watch it. Seriously. If you haven't watched Ted Lasso, I am so adamant about how much I love this show. I will give you my Apple password and you can watch it. I swear. So good. I didn't realize as we were recording this that I am actually the person that convinced Christina to watch it. But I feel like it has been, at least for us, for a lot of our clients, and I think a lot of the people that follow us, as you'll hear by some of the questions that we discuss on this episode, a really meaningful show with a lot of really good lessons and metaphors for life. So good. A couple of weeks ago, we both put out kind of a question/poll in threads and then also on Instagram stories to see what questions you all wanted us to answer about Ted Lasso. And today we are doing it. We recorded it in my she shed. Spoiler alert and very on brand for us. We had some issues not being sure if the episode was actually recording, and we left that part in there. Like, you will literally hear us be like, wait, is this recording? What is happening? And then we laugh about it and we carry on. And we decided to leave it in the name of imperfection, in the name of showing up and being ourselves and really being on brand and keeping this fun. Because one of the things that we decided about doing these crossover episodes is that if it no longer feels fun for us, we won't do it anymore. And it did not feel fun to edit out that part. So please enjoy us in all of our unfiltered glory. Let's go talk about Ted Lasso. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jenna.
Welcome to the She Shed.
Thank you for having me back here.
I'm excited. I'm excited to talk. It's been a minute. What have you been up to?
Enjoying summer. Yeah. I'm like the best version of myself in the summer. So I have a little garden going. I'm trying this like don't be working all the time new chapter of my life. And in the summer, I gotta say it's a pretty good time.
Yeah.
What about you?
I love summer too, just seasonally. But I'll be honest, I'm not living my best life. I am on the struggle bus because this stage of toddlerhood with my son JJ is like next level.
Yes.
He is an adorable lunatic.
Me too.
That's why I love you. But it's just like earlier this summer we tried potty training. It didn't go. And it is like fighting sleep and it's like cutting into my free time. And just, I don't know. But it's fine. Like, this is fine. We're fine.
I feel like, I just want to say this before we get into our topic today. I feel like gardening has to be an awful lot like motherhood because I have followed in my garden all of the rules for so many things, and the things still die. Like, it's Mother Nature's like, haha, here's too much sun. Like, do you know what I mean? And
okay.
It's gotta be like motherhood where you're like, I am doing all of the things and the shit is still not going well.
I told my sister the other day, I'm like, I feel like I got like a rare model.
No, you didn't. I mean,
but like, yes. When people talk about things, like my sister was texting me something. She's like, oh, have you tried this? I was just saw like an Instagram post and somebody was talking about, I'm like, cute that you think that would work with my child. He's got a lot of energy and a big personality. And, you know, they say that the thing that like triggers you most about your child mm-hmm. is the thing that you need to work on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if this isn't mm-hmm. the consequences of my own actions, yes, because the thing with him is that he's very distractible. Mm-hmm. He's very all over the place. So to like get him to focus and put his shoes on or to calm down and go mm-hmm. to sleep mm-hmm. is really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we know who your mother is.
Oh, well, so in other news, we have a fun topic today, though.
We do. We're going to talk about Ted Lasso.
I am so excited.
Do you feel like, obviously, I mean, based on the responses, your audience is very into Ted Lasso, mm-hmm. as is mine. Mm-hmm. A lot of Ted Lasso fans. We've got, like, a lot of different things that other people want to talk about, but I'm sure we have stuff that we want to talk mm-hmm. about. When did you first get into watching that show?
Okay, so can I tell you the truth about Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
When were you Keeley for Halloween?
Not this past Halloween, but the year before.
Okay, so not this past Halloween, but the year before. Mm-hmm. I had only heard of Ted Lasso through you because we didn't have Apple TV.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of an ass, and I was like, I do not need Apple TV. Like, I don't need another streaming thing.
Yes.
And everyone was like, Ted Lasso. And I was like, I just wasn't bought into it yet. I'm like, oh, a show about soccer and yes. like men. Like, I'm like, I just don't need more male influence in my life. I just right. didn't want it. And you kept saying to me, like, week after week, do you watch Ted Lasso? Do you watch Ted Lasso? Do you watch Ted Lasso? And I don't know at what point you got me. You were the reason I got into Ted Lasso.
Oh.
I don't know what episode or what you said or how you said it, but I was like, fine, I'll give it a shot. And I was hooked after season one, episode one. Because Jenna, we'll get there. I loved it. It was so special.
Did Mike watch it with you?
Yes.
Okay. I actually started watching Ted Lasso because Eric made me watch it. And I very much felt the same. I'm like, it's a stupid show about sports balls. But we started watching it like right when season one first came out. It was March of 2021. And I feel like the show, it just like had a lot of meaning for us, like as a couple. I don't know. It was like that was like a rough time, I think. Mm-hmm. JJ was like very little. I was adjusting to being a new mom. Eric was like dealing with his own shit that we don't need to get into. But it was his birthday. And I remember specifically, like, there wasn't a lot to do. Like, things were still locked down. I was still teaching at Carthage at the time, the college. And I was like, I was just trying to get him out of the house on his birthday because he had taken the day off and he was moping around. I'm like, you're not going to stay here moping. I'm like, come up to Carthage with me. I'm like, you like, go take a walk by the lake or something, because it's like right on the lakefront. Go walk by the lake, like hang out, like go get yourself a coffee while I'm teaching. When we're done, we'll like, you know, go get dinner, because I had afternoon classes. And so he did that. And then we went and got dinner, and then we came home. And after JJ went to bed, he's like, okay, I want you to watch this show with me. And the only reason I agreed was because it was his birthday. But I wound up just loving it. And I feel like it was one of those things that we could look forward to, mm-hmm. even though there were like a lot of things that we were both struggling with, mm-hmm. like personally and mm-hmm. together, it like brought us together. And I think we both like could see aspects of ourselves in different mm-hmm. characters, which is, I always think that's really cool. Like when you're with somebody and you kind of like laugh about it, but it's like, no, seriously, you're kind of like, yeah. Brokent.
Can you give us an example of something that was like that for you?
Well, okay. So there was the one quote in season three where Rebecca like goes off on Roy Kent, and she says something to the effect of like, and this quote's so good for me too. She's like, you would rather eat shit soup and complain about the portions.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? She said, I can't forget what the quote was. It was basically like, you would rather eat shit soup and complain about the portions. And I look at him, I'm like, you would rather eat shit soup and complain about the portions.
So similarly, 2021, well, I don't, my years are, after everything from like 2020 to the beginning of 2023 was just like a giant pile of shit for me. It was shit soup. And similar to you, it was something just like super low hanging fruit. Like the episodes went by really fast. Like it was an easy expected way for Mike and I to hang out when, for different reasons, both of our lives were, I think, similar to you guys, challenging.
Yeah.
And what sucked me in, like what struck me right away, was the way that the men were painted. Mm. There wasn't any overt like misogyny. There wasn't an overt like sexual implication. Like, I for sure was like, oh no, are they going to make Rebecca and Ted Lasso hook up? Like, that would have like ruined it for me, yeah, in a way. There was like a wholesomeness to it that I think I had lost sight of after 2020. Like, the world just felt like a dark, heavy place. And Ted Lasso was like such a nice break from how shitty people can be.
Yes.
And there was just this like, they did it in such a creative way. Like, they told a story in a creative way that I don't think we see often on TV.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's interesting. It didn't really dawn on me. Mm. There wasn't a lot of misogyny, except for I'm thinking on that first episode when Rebecca fires the old coach.
Do you know? Why don't I remember that either?
You remember that? It was the first episode. I forget what his name was.
Rewatched it?
Yeah.
I
mean, I haven't rewatched the whole thing, but I've watched certain episodes multiple times.
I need to do that.
And she's telling him, he's asking her why she's firing him. And she's like, well, you're casual misogyny for one. Mm. And she's like, go ask your daughters what that means.
See what I mean though?
Yeah.
They addressed it then.
Yeah.
Even if it was present, they had addressed it.
Yeah.
And they did that with a lot of topics. I think they pushed the envelope on a lot of topics in a unique way.
Yes.
Like, they talked about homosexuality. There was a racial implication towards the... Like, there were just a lot of heavy topics wrapped up in a really fun-loving way, which I think is a skill. Like, that's an art form, I think.
Yeah. I think they did it well.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
What else do you want to talk about Ted Lasso before we get into some of the things that the people talked about?
Okay, so I had posted on Threads and you had posted on Instagram stories.
Yes.
And I think some of the topics, some of the things that people wrote in, I have tangents to add to it. So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
I can do it that way.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to add before we dive in?
I have got to say, I want to know what, like, if there was, like, one moment or, like, a standout thing that just really hit you. Mm. Because I've got to say, for me, the whole, like, be curious, not judgmental.
Mm.
And, like, that whole scene, please tell me you remember this, where Ted's in the bar and he's throwing darts. Mm-hmm. And he's telling the story about people underestimating him his whole life.
And he switches hands.
Yes.
And nails the bullseye.
Yes.
Okay.
And I feel like I resonate with that on the receiving end and the giving end, meaning I feel like sometimes people, I wouldn't say underestimate me, but are surprised by me in certain ways. And I like that. I don't know. There's just something I like about not being what people expect me to be. And I also like the be curious, not judgmental. I think that's always been like an underlying facet of like not only my coaching, but I think my personality. Like, I'm genuinely curious. Like, I'm curious about other people's experiences. I'm curious about like just trying new things. And I think that was something that really resonated with me before I knew it resonated with me, before I had a name to it. And I feel like that scene and that particular quote put a name on it. And I'll tell you what, I don't have any tattoos, but if I ever got a tattoo, it would be that.
Be curious, not judgmental. Okay. I have a lot of thoughts on that I don't think fit into a Ted Lasso episode. If here's what I want to say to like the listeners.
Yeah.
If that quote resonated with you, my question would be, do you show that towards yourself?
You want to know something?
Yeah. Of course.
I am trying.
Oh, good.
I think that would have not been my initial go-to many years ago, but like, thanks to therapy.
Therapy and Ted Lasso, the Venn diagram.
Well, and right? like the normalizing of therapy and like mental health struggles.
Yes. Oh, we forgot to say that. They did such a great job of that. It was a kind of a weird like character arc, I think, with the therapist. I know some people, I read on the online that people were like, what happened to the therapist? Like, they wrote her in and then they kind of wrote her out. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That? But that was a super important part for me as well. When they kind of showed different characters, opening up in therapy and how that impacted them outside of the therapist's office.
Yeah.
cool.
Yes,
I thought very that was cool. A scene. So, okay, so Ted Lasso.
Christina, I don't know what the fuck happened here, but we haven't been recording. Do you see that?
No, it just stopped. Go ahead and hit use.
All right. So anyway, we've been having issues, and we're just going to go with it.
I might leave it. Everybody on the Confidence Project podcast, I might leave that.
Yeah. Isn't that a thing you're doing where you're
not editing?
So now we can't edit it because it'll break your streak. So now I'm stuck with this shit.
No, you can't edit yours. Should we move it over? Is it picking us up?
I think it is. Hold on. All right,
Make it longer. I'm nervous. Drag that over.
This?
Yeah.
Okay, we're golden.
Okay.
We're back. Okay, so the therapist character arc, yeah. Yes.
I thought that was just how they showed the different characters interacting with the therapist, to your point.
Yes.
You said, normalizing therapy and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they talked, Ted Lasso had those anxiety attacks.
Yeah.
Which was important that they highlighted, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. So many things in regard to that.
With every Ted Lasso episode, I knew that one of two things was going to happen. I was either going to laugh or cry.
Okay.
And sometimes both.
Yeah.
And there was one scene in particular that I instantly burst into tears. I was like, whoo.
Yeah.
And it was when Rebecca is going into that meeting with those men and stands in front of the mirror and raises her hands up over her head and growls, but she sees herself as a little girl.
Yeah.
And then they show her again as a woman. That was from my therapy, inner child work came to the surface.
Yeah.
I had done inner child work not too long before that, and that struck me. I was like, that's the image that it is. And then Rebecca goes into that meeting and sees all those men who are completely disregarding her as little boys.
Yes.
And I was like, we all need that. We all need to... That's something I think I'm working on is when you walk into a room and you're like, I don't know if I belong here. Having some sort of tool in your mind that is wait, this rich old man or this person or whoever, whyever you think you don't belong in the room that you're in, something that kind of brings you back down and goes, oh, I got this.
Yes.
I'm good. That
yes.
scene to me was so emotionally provoking.
Wow. And I really loved that scene, mm-hmm. but I didn't have the same reaction. Mm-hmm. I was just like, Rebecca, you fucking badass.
Mm. I felt connected to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't it so funny? And we'll see this in a little bit when we read our stuff, how so many of us came together because of Ted Lasso, but for completely different reasons.
Yes.
We all took something different away from it.
Mm-hmm.
What was a character? Who did you resonate with the most?
I mean... I don't feel like there was one person that was the Jenna.
Mm.
There are different people that resonate with me mm-hmm. in different ways. I wouldn't say I'm one person. Obviously, I resonated with Keely on a lot of levels. You're laughing. You can see that. We were talking about how it was her for Halloween because I think a lot of people didn't take Keely seriously, mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, or she just seemed like she was a lot of fluff because mm-hmm. she was a model and she wore mm-hmm. Ridiculous outfits and she had a lot of fun and she was very lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
But she also as we got to know her character, she mm-hmm. also had a lot more depth to her, mm-hmm. As a human and even business savvy mm-hmm. as she went on to start her own thing. And I really love that because it's fuck yes, you can have your own business and mm-hmm. a pink cheetah.
Mm-hmm.
I want that pink cheetah, by the way, for the shed. Where can I find that? Have you ever heard of ScreenBid?
No.
ScreenBid is a website that they'll auction off or sell stuff, kind of like eBay, but it's stuff that was on movies and TV shows.
Oh. Did you look it up?
No, I actually didn't, but I remember it because there was one point in time when they were auctioning off stuff from New Girl, which was a show that Eric and I loved. And after it was canceled, I literally own some things. Christina, no joke, there is a sweater in my laundry now.
Because you were Jessica Day one year also.
I mean, we can have a whole nother episode about how I resonate with Jessica Day on a very deep level.
Interesting.
But I actually have a sweater. It is a white J. Crew cardigan sweater that Zooey Deschanel literally wore on that show that Eric bought for me off of ScreenBid.
Oh my goodness.
Side notes.
Well, I can totally see why you resonate with Keely, because you just said that. Like, you like to surprise people. Mm-hmm. And I think that the writers intentionally presented Keely as, like, her visual representation was the opposite of, like, who she was on the inside.
Yes.
And we, as viewers, are, to your point of judgment versus curiosity, we judge.
Yeah.
And I do think, I wonder if they did that on purpose. Just across the board, like, there were all these characters that it would be easy to write them off as something else.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Kent, for example.
Yeah.
Who I also deeply resonated with him. And I'm also very jealous. Roy Kent was loved.
Yes.
And did he never, like, gave a flying fuck if anyone was, like, offended by his presence.
Yeah.
And he was just Roy Kent everywhere. Everyone just loved him. And he was always just, like, a grumpy old fuck. And I'm like, you know what? Me too. I'm a grumpy old fuck. And I've just decided that, like, I want to be Roy Kent.
Okay, and, like, Roy Kent also had this wonderful, like, soft spot. Like, if you think about him with his niece.
Oh, yes. And he wore his little tie-dye.
Yeah.
Oh, right? And, like, I think, for me, that is important. You like to surprise. I think maybe I like to surprise people, too. But yeah. I want to surprise people, and I definitely want you to know that I'm a dick first.
Mm.
Then I want you to maybe like me. I feel very Roy Kentish sometimes.
Interesting. I love it. I love it.
I know. I love that.
Yeah. There's also, like, I don't think I am Rebecca, but I think I want to be Rebecca.
Mm, we had some of those responses.
I think there's a part of me that feels very Rebecca, and I could see myself in a similar situation. You know what I mean? Like, initially trying to be, like, vengeful and, like, ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know, like, she came around to, like, not trying to be purposely vengeful, but she was still, like a little bit of a hard ass, but, like.
Yeah. Yes. Because you can be a hard ass and not be vengeful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just love that.
And I think it's so cool, like, with Rebecca, they tied in what my, like, projection is, like, the inner child work, because it's, like, it was never about. It wasn't until Rebecca realized it wasn't about her husband at all that she became what she was.
Yeah.
Which is, like, an inside job. Like, that's, like, that internal child, like, that inner child work of, like, there's a little girl inside of me who roars in front of the mirror.
Yes.
You know, that I, are we still recording? Good. Yeah. I love that. Do we want to get to what some people wrote in?
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Okay, sure. So we definitely, like, since we're talking about Keely and Rebecca, I definitely had somebody comment about the Keely-Rebecca relationship, like, friendship, and just, like, how lovely it was and, like, their, like, love and support for each other. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I have one that touches on that, too. Do you want to read? I'll read mine, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Someone wrote in on Threads. I was, well, it's not someone, it's Liz. We love Liz.
Mm-hmm.
I was in love with Rebecca and Keely's friendship. I want them to win at everything and just loved how they were always there for each other and lifting each other up. It is how I wish all my female friendships could have been prior to me being in my 30s, because wow, was it not like that? I agree.
Yes. And my comment in here, shout out to Allison, just saying, like, the love and support that Rebecca, I can't speak. Oh my God. The love and support that Keely and Rebecca have for one another. Like, that was basically her thing. And it's interesting because I feel like in the beginning, like, Keely seemed like she was intimidated by Rebecca a bit. I remember her, like, sitting down on the couch and, like, taking off her shoes and putting her feet up. And, and then that just, it kind of developed, and it was lovely. Like, they both needed each other.
Mm-hmm. And their opposites. That was, I think, helpful for me to see as someone who, I think for a lot of reasons I identify closely with Rebecca. And I really didn't identify much with Keely at all, but I really liked her character, but I didn't see much
maybe
of myself in her.
Maybe that's why we're friends.
Oh, maybe.
I'm the Keely or the Rebecca. Oh.
You know what, Jenna? I do not dress up for Halloween, but I might do that with you. I'm too short to be Rebecca.
Just do it. Just get, like, a blonde wig.
Mini Rebecca.
You need some,
mini,
like,
Rebecca.
like really tall platforms and like...
And like a killer pantsuit.
Maybe we should both be Rebecca and like you ride on his shoulders.
I'll just be Roy Kent.
We'll just be like...
No, fuck it.
We'll be two like
are
in a trench coat.
Are you going to put me on top yeah. of your shoulder? Like, I'll just be Roy Kent.
Two kids in a trench coat.
That was a really nice demonstration of how two women, both kind of in their own power.
Yeah.
Like they weren't, like Rebecca obviously had her own stuff going on. Keely had her own stuff going on. Big exciting stuff. And they, men, dating, jobs, they never competed.
Yeah.
They always supported. They were never against, they were always in support of the other person, which I was like, it was so nice to watch because going back to the misogyny thing, I think that's a big core to a lot of the stuff we watch is like women drama, the fighting, the gossip,
right.
the like insecurity. And they were so loving towards one another.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It was really nice.
What other thoughts do you have on their friendship?
I'm trying to think. You know, one thing that I'm really thinking about is, like, in the end, when Rebecca just basically was like, I'll, like, write you a check and fund your business.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, their relationship never felt like, in spite of the fact that, like, Rebecca basically at one point had, like, all of this money that, like, she could do anything
mm-hmm.
with, it never felt like Keely was using her for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Keely, you know, had her own success
mm-hmm.
and whatever, but not to that level. It never felt like she was like using her
mm-hmm.
because of that or like because of her power. It felt like a genuine, like loving, respectful relationship.
I totally agree. And now I have a question that maybe you remember. Do you know if they ever, because I think this is a big one with female friendships too, friendships in general, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever show one of them, Rebecca or Keely, like defending the other one when the other wasn't in the room? Was there like a...
I can't remember one. Can you?
No,
I can't. But I don't feel like...
That like would it
I be? I don't really remember either of them ever having shit talked about them.
True. Good point.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think there was
like
opportunity
wasn't a
for
part
that.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the fact that they didn't introduce some sort of that type of conflict that, again, I think we're all very used to... I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Don't you feel like there's a certain level of insecurity with female friendships? You're
yes.
just like,
well,
please don't be a dick when I'm not around.
Yes.
You know?
I think that's, going back to our episode about adult friendships,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's very common for
mm-hmm.
a lot of people.
Yeah,
totally and maybe my experience of that is a little bit different, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Allison wrote in too about this. I really wanted to have... A bit more with Rebecca. Oh, nope. Just kidding. Boat dude guy. We did have a few people say they wish there was more about Rebecca and the boat man.
Okay.
The pilot guy.
I've got to ask you about boat man.
Okay.
What was your take on boat man?
Which part? all of it?
Like that entire episode where boat man
mm-hmm.
came.
So to me, I don't think you're ready for this jelly, Jenna. That episode was the... I believe was the softening of Rebecca. They literally, if you remember what Rebecca physically looked like in that episode, she wasn't wearing heels. She didn't have makeup on. Her hair was loosely tied.
Uh-huh.
It was like Rebecca, I think the symbolism there was like Rebecca letting go and relinquishing this world of power where she's in charge. She goes to this boat and she's like in a robe and she's like, it was very...
She's
like,
letting someone take care of her.
Yes, totally. And there's, like, a softening. There's a surrendering required in that. And what I loved is that they didn't make Rebecca be bad or wrong because of it. They,
yeah.
like, the writing and the acting and the directing, like, we still knew that Rebecca was this, like, powerful, capable, independent woman. And it was so nice to watch her, like... in that one episode on the boat, like, just take an exhale and not be the woman at the top.
Yeah.
Helping and doing all the things for everyone.
Okay, what was your take on actual boatman? Because
like,
I feel like a lot of people that I talk to, I had thoughts. Like, the
okay.
minute that episode came and like the whole thing. I know a lot of people who were like, oh, like he was so sweet. I was creeped out by him.
Okay.
Like from the minute he like she fell in the river and then he like shouted after her and I was like, ew, no.
Okay. Yes. No. Correct. At first when he shouted out loud, I was like, no.
Yeah.
But then I changed my mind a little bit.
Okay. Go ahead. I didn't change my mind. And here's like the hinting that I got. I'm like, he's taking her on a boat. Like she's going to fall asleep and he's going to just like drive away and like abduct her. And maybe I've been like listening to a little much true crime, but also there was something that alluded to like Ted and Beard were in a hotel and like Beard was drinking some kind of like drug tea. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And like, so they had that and then he made Rebecca a drink and I just kept thinking like, he drugged her drink and something bad's going to happen. I felt like he was a little too forward and pushy for my take. But then I talked to some people who said that just was maybe like a cultural thing.
Oh, because he was from the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So like maybe there was just like a cultural misunderstanding that sure. I was missing there.
Yeah.
But I felt like he was a little too forward and a little too pushy and it was like a little too much for me.
So the way that I took that is that I think perhaps what was meant to be communicated was that Rebecca needs someone who's equal in power.
Okay.
In terms of how like direct she was. I think Rebecca with someone who is a little bit more like maybe like, I don't know, mild-mannered.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm projecting. I can't be with someone that I can steamroll.
Mm-hmm.
I will steamroll you. And then I will turn around and say, get the fuck up. That's just who I'm working on it. seriously.
I'm waiting for you to steamroll me.
I feel like... I didn't marry you, Jenna. I didn't marry you. Sorry, Mike. I also think I really believed that Rebecca felt comfortable. There was like a comfort that I felt was communicated. I also don't think Rebecca would ever... I never took her to be... I don't know. I was like, nothing bad can happen to Rebecca because it would like ruin
You know what I thought was going to happen?
Well, yeah, that she was going to get abducted.
Well, then I also... That was Lucky, by the way. Just snuffing along.
He's okay. He's so cute.
My dog, Lucky, for those of you who don't know, is in the shed with us right now recording. But I was convinced that, like, he was going to accidentally get her pregnant, and then she was going to find out later.
Oh, but I knew that he was going to have a daughter from, like, I think even before he was introduced. I was like, really? Rebecca's going to become a mom. As soon as they started showing the green matchbox, I was like, she's going to become a mom.
Okay, and I thought...
And I knew she wasn't going to get pregnant.
Okay, I saw the green matchbox, but I was pretty sure that she was going to accidentally get pregnant.
Oh.
By either... First, I thought it was going to be Sam, and then I thought it was going to be Dutch guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That, like, when nothing came after that, like, I was convinced the next episode, like, Rebecca was going to take a pregnancy test and be like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I love that how they set that up.
Yeah.
How it ended for her. Let's see what other people wrote in. Someone wrote in, I love everything about Rebecca, especially Hannah Waddingham. Waddingham?
Yeah.
I guess that's her. Yeah, she's a stunning woman.
And she really just looks
so great. Someone else said, my husband and I have a theory that really the whole show was about Rebecca and her evolution.
Like it should have been called Rebecca, in which case one of the people wrote in to me that they want to know if we have any thoughts on, like, if we think they're going to do any spinoffs.
Did we talk about this offline already?
We didn't. Not me and
you. Do you have an idea for a spinoff? Because I do. That would be so sick.
I don't have an idea for a spinoff yet, but, like, I haven't thought about it deeply. So I feel like we should.
Do you want to hear my idea?
Yes.
I think that the spinoff needs to be that Rebecca owns the women's team and Keely is, like, the head marketer for the women's team. And then it's, like, Ted Lasso, but with women.
Yes.
Right?
I love that.
Wouldn't that be like...
Okay, and then who would you cast as the coach of the women's team?
Roy Kent.
Yes.
Right or no? Oh, can we talk about Jamie?
Yeah, Jamie.
How did you feel about that character arc or whatever?
I was initially... I'm not that quick to forgive. So
me neither.
So when Jamie, like, kind of, like, did his thing and then he, like, went off, like... I always kind of thought he was a dick. And yes. then he came back. And I'm like, come on. You're just going to, like, let him back?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was totally believable.
Yeah.
For me. Like, I eventually, like, got on board and went with it.
Same.
But I had a hard time being like, how are you just going to turn around?
Yeah. I agree. And I ended up letting it go, too. I felt like I had to let it go.
Yeah.
But I was like, not. It took me, say, a couple episodes to be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And at the end, like, the final episode, I was rooting for Jamie.
Like, rooting for him in terms of...
I think just as, like, a person.
Okay. I think, like, I am rooting for Jamie like a person, but if we're talking about, like, does Keely end up with one of them, it's definitely not Jamie Tartt, and it's, like, it could be, like, if I had to pick between one of them, mm-hmm. it could be Roy Kent, but I feel like it's neither.
Mm.
And I feel like I wanted more context around what was going on with her and Jax. Like, was mm-hmm. Jack... Was sorry, I don't know why I said Jax. Jack. Was Keely bi all along, or does she then later, like, discover...
Hmm. That's a good question.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
or does she just switch to dating women? Like...
That's a good question. Someone in my audience and I were chatting about this, and they said on the one hand it was really nice to show someone who's either, like, sexually fluid or sexually curious or bi or whatever yeah. it was, and then they also expressed that there was some frustration that there wasn't additional context. Like, yeah. they showed it, but then didn't go into it.
Was that just always a part of who Keely was, or was...
That's a good question.
Like, did she... Like, does Keely have, like, just new understanding of her sexuality as so many. And I was just doing a podcast interview recently with one of our mutual friends, and I don't want to spoil it because I don't know when that episode is going to come out, about like discovering she was queer later in life
mm-hmm.
because just like heterosexuality is just like thrown on us. So I just,
mm-hmm.
I'm curious. Did Keely yeah. always know that, or mm-hmm. did she just discover new things?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
So I didn't think about that too much. I think I felt a little disappointed that the introduction of, was it Jack or Jax?
Jack. I feel it was Jack.
Jack?
Okay. I feel like it was Jack because...
Okay. Yeah. All right, Jack.
Because she thought Jack was a man.
Right.
And then she met Jack and Jack was a woman.
Yes. That, I think, was a disappointment. It felt like they were, like, trying to rush the... Like, it was just, like, a flash in the pan, that whole storyline for Keely, which I guess, looking now that we know how it ended, it's kind of like I wish they would have... either kind of committed to that or wrapped it up easier or spent more time with, like, the Kent versus Jamie thing.
Yeah.
You know, because then it just was like, oh, now we have to pretend like we know how it ends.
Yeah.
I say, if there's a spinoff, I hope that they're in, like, a thruple together. I hope it's Keely, Roy Kent, and Jamie Tartt just in a thruple.
Just in a thruple.
Yeah, I would sign up for that thruple.
Okay. Well, hopefully they all come into the spinoff. I don't... Do you have any other ideas about spinoffs, though?
That's the only one I can, like, think of.
Can we talk about the ending?
Yes.
Real quick. So somebody in my audience had something to say about mm-hmm. the ending, and mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up. But before I do, how did you feel about that last episode? Oh, here I have it. The person who said this was just saying, what was up with Ted? He was disconnected and weird.
Mm.
But, like, that, but also generally, like, the last episode, what was your take on that?
I think I took his, because I picked up on that, too. He was very, like, melancholy and was no longer, like, the primary zest of everything, I felt. That's, mm-hmm. like, what Ted was, I felt. Like, this, like, energized, like, he infused a lot of energy.
And I have a thought about that that we'll circle back to when we're done on this topic.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
And I took some of that disconnection as, like, he had matured and he's like, I am not, my job here is done and my energy is being reserved for fatherhood. I think Ted's story was about fatherhood, more than anything. And the way that he fathered those men on the team.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that until, like, you said that just now, but yes.
Yeah, that is how... I know some people really looked at Ted. I think you had mentioned this also, and his marriage, and that was important, but I really was focused on Ted's relationship with just fatherhood in general.
Yeah. I think, like, there were parts of that
that felt disappointing to me.
Mm-hmm.
More shit to bring up in therapy. Because, like, as we know, anybody that knows me and you know, as we've talked about, like, I have a very strong connection to, like, keeping my own sense of myself and my career outside of being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, between... and also, like, outside of being, like, a wife or, mm-hmm. like, my mm-hmm. roles of what I am to other people. And so for him to decide he wants to go back and, you know, be there for his son, I think is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you're just going to go back there and, like, with your wife and... like, she was, like, fucking the therapist all along mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're just going to be cool with that because if that were me being vengeful—and, like, I normally side with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we didn't really hear Michelle's mm-hmm. side of the story, to be mm-hmm. fair. We only heard Ted's side.
Yeah.
If I had been Ted and that were me and I found out that my partner was, like, getting with our couples therapist—
mm.
I would divorce them so fast and I would try to get full custody of that kid and I would bring him back to London with me and continue my life.
But in 3 years, you would learn a lesson that's like just like Rebecca's lesson. Like Ted and Rebecca learned the same lesson of like, oh, I'm not going to get anywhere by trying to get this person back. Like I have to do what's right for me, which at first was leave
yeah.
and go to London. And then he finished his work there. I think Ted like did what he came to do.
Yeah.
And left those men better men.
And he did. And I think, and like, I think he left a better man himself.
100%. And I think that gave him the confidence to be like, I can father my kid. Yeah. I may have my marriage may have fallen apart,
mm-hmm.
but I can still be a parent.
Yeah.
And if you think about it too, there wasn't really an emphasis on relationships at all. Everyone's relationship, now that I think about it, was open-ended at the end.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like, I don't want to say it's related to misogyny, but there was just a centering of other things.
Yeah.
You know how most movies, especially like rom-com feel goods, there's always like a breakup, a marriage, a blah, everyone's in love.
Yeah, you get back together and get married and live happily ever after.
This was not that. This was friendship and community and partnership and team building. And I wonder if that is what so many of us looked at the screen and was like, oh.
Like, this is what it's all about.
This is what's missing. Like, from our own personal lives.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe I think too much. Seriously? Can you hit don't show this message again when it comes up again?
Yeah, not anymore. Where did it even leave
did
off?
Did it stop? You
know, I'm going to edit this for you.
No, don't. It'll be fine. I can edit it. It's fine.
Where
it's
did
fine.
It leave it's us fine. Off?
I don't know. Should we pause it? BRB.
Okay, so anyway, we've been having so many technical difficulties, but we're having a good time, and isn't that the point of this?
It's totally the point.
This is the point. Okay, so we're having a good time. Okay, so another thing. Skipping, we're done talking about...
Well, do you have any thoughts on that? Did you... I don't know if I really talked that out with myself yet of, like, all the relationships, all the romantic relationships were, for the most part, kind of open-ended at the end. Like, they centered other types of endings.
Yeah, and I don't... think that that registered to me until you pointed it out. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But what were your, what questions did you just ask me that I was just answering? What are your thoughts on that same question? What was the question?
Just that last episode, I think.
So what were your,
I think, you know what I was going to say is that a lot of things to your point felt very unresolved mm-hmm. about that last mm-hmm. episode. Like, I left having so many questions
mm-hmm.
unanswered, which I guess leaves room for, like, a spinoff and to be continued.
Yeah.
If that comes. And I don't know what it is, but I feel like I want to catch up.
Yes. With your friends.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
I want to, and I'm not ready for the story to end.
I know. I was kind of hoping, and this is, like, a big hope, but I think a really cool spinoff would be if they, like, published Trent's book.
Yes!
How do we start a petition?
Okay, Roy Kent's, Brett Goldstein is the actor.
Is that it? Okay.
Okay, he's actually, like, one of the writers for the show. So can Brett Goldstein, if you're listening, can you actually write Trent Crim's book? And publish it because I would buy it.
Wouldn't
I
want to
know what's in Trent Crim's book.
Right, me too. Like, from that perspective. Like, from, like, that outsider perspective that he had.
Oh, that's a good spinoff, actually.
I know. And I'd read that book in a heartbeat. I would probably use it as, like, a coaching manual. Like, the philosophy of Ted Lasso as a leader.
Yes.
Right?
And I think, like, I really when we're talking about characters that we resonate with, mm-hmm. there are also parts of Ted that I resonate with, mm-hmm. not only like as a leader, like bringing that like levity and like optimism. Like that's something that I really resonate, but also as a person, Ted very much ran from his feelings, and did a lot of, you know, just like joking and poking fun at things and like, this is fine and I don't need to go to therapy. And I feel like that is very much a part of who I am, even though I'm like trying to work on that. I very much relate with the, like, let's just make a joke and have a good time and not acknowledge that we're sad.
I love Ted's character, and it's funny because I did not, there's something in me, this is probably why we're friends.
Yeah.
I was so aware that most of Ted's ethos is not, I don't have what he has. So there was like not a longing, that's very drama, but like, I was like, that is so nice. I wish I could be more like that. There were a lot of parts of Ted that I was like, that would be a nice thing to be like, that I don't naturally possess.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But I can totally see how you identified with a lot of what he is.
Yeah. And I even think about myself like as a dance teacher, because I am, you know, like a leader and a coach of a team of people.
Yeah.
I don't know what my dance students think of me, if they think I'm anything like Ted Lasso, but I,
I'm sure they do.
I'll have to ask.
Do we have anything else we want to add?
Oh, what else?
I think...
Can we talk about Nate?
Oh, yes. Let me read this one. I had a little bit... Okay, so someone said... This is Neens. She said, Nate, I was hoping for the redemption arc as soon as he became a dick. Which is funny. And I said, tell me more about how you're related to Nate. And she said, he's the quiet dude with the dream but gets corrupted by what he thinks and what society tells him that success is or what it should look like. He loses himself in the process of going after what he thinks he should, and he's trying to become someone he thinks he should be for others, but isn't actually that person. He realized it towards the end and embraced his true self. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that's a very wise interpretation of Nate, and I think that makes sense coming from somebody who, I don't know, just felt like they resonated with his character a lot. That was another one I had a hard time forgiving him as well. I was like, well, we're just going to all forgive Nate now?
Yeah, right.
Fucking Nate.
Yep,
like,
yep.
And I remember me and Liz, like, in the DMs, like, when that episode came out, when, like, he kind of, like, you can tell when he kind of, like, turned evil.
Yep.
We're like, fucking Nate.
Yeah, fucking Nate. And I wish they would have made some of more of his arc more obvious, because I think it was lost a lot. I think many people, like me, I was like, fuck him. Like, I was just pissed.
Yeah.
And also, I was trying to look for, I was like, okay, what are they trying to do here with this? And I think it was like, I think we were, what I tried to get out of Nate's thing was like insecurity mixed with like jealousy and being power hungry is not a good look. Like, if he would have just been like, I'm a part of an amazing team and I don't need to, like, I don't know what he was looking for, I guess, but he, like, ruined a good thing.
Yeah. Well, some people talk about how, because I didn't see the evil turn coming, but I think a lot of people picked up on some cues. I guess there was one of the episodes where he had, like, given Ted a gift and, like, Ted didn't receive it in the way that he thought, and he felt like brushed off by him. And that's where the turn happened. But I missed that memo, and I did not pick up on those cues or see that turn coming.
I can totally see why people resonated with him. I think a lot of people resonate with that, with like that kind of, those darker kind of shadier parts that all of us have when we're, I guess, jealous or feeling dismissed by someone. I think he probably felt dismissed by Ted. I did have a hard time getting over what Nate did, especially when he came in and tore up the sign. That made me emotional, because you could tell, like, that was, Nate was in a not a great mental spot for that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What other thoughts do we have on Ted Lasso?
I don't know. Do you, was there anything else you wanted to add about Roy Kent? I know that I definitely did get somebody who wanted to talk about Roy Kent.
What'd they say?
A little bit. She just said, he's here, he's there, he's every fucking where.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Shannon for that one.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
There wasn't something specific, but just talking about him.
Have you ever watched Friends, Jenna?
Okay, do you want to know something? I was just talking about this. I have dabbled in Friends.
Okay.
But I have not seen, like, all the Friends episodes, like, okay. So many people have.
So I'm, like, a heavy Friends user.
Okay.
Got it. And there's one episode where they're talking about, like, free passes with your partner. And, like,
yeah.
If you could sleep with five people and it, like, wouldn't count, who would it be? I know that he's a fictional character, but Roy Kent is on my list.
Really?
Oh, my God. I would. Yes.
Wow. Fun facts.
Is that like weird?
It's
I feel like everyone is like, wow, Roy Kent.
It's not weird. Like I can see that.
He doesn't light your fire. Is he not your type? Is Jamie Tart your type?
I would take Jamie Tart's more my type.
Oh, I would take them both at the same time. Like, no questions asked.
Like Jamie Tart is more like physically my
yes.
type. I tend to go for like the preppy, cocky dick with blue eyes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like that, that's...
Yes. I like the athletes.
Yeah.
I like an athlete.
That's... But I, like... here's what's funny,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
Roy Kent is a little too grumpy for me.
But
do you want to know something?
Uh-huh.
And here's what's interesting. I find myself often pointing to Eric.
Uh-huh.
And being like, Roy Kent. Like...
That's funny.
But
so Eric is grumpy.
He's grumpy. Yeah, a little Oscar the Grouchy.
Okay, so you're Mike in my relationship. I'm the grump.
Yeah. Can you have two Roy Kents in a relationship? Is that possible?
I don't know if I want to, like, be with Roy Kent. I just want to, like, be with Roy Kent.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of times. I would, like, love for him to growl in my face.
Yeah.
All over me. Anyway, so that's why
I love
that's
it.
My two cents on that.
He's, but you're right though about him being like
well received.
Yeah, he's like he's lovable. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody takes his like Oscar the mm-hmm. Grouchiness personally.
That's exactly it, Jenna. No one was like upset. They were just like, oh, Roy Kent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was so nice.
It was almost like just kind of like comical.
Yes.
Like how he was.
Yes.
I'm thinking about the time when he like comes out and like when Kim and Keeley first have their first interaction
uh-huh.
and he's like imitating Ted Lasso. He's like, I'm Ted Lasso. Yes. I'm from Kansas. And he's like a British person trying to do an American accent is so great.
Mike and I will, I guess it's actually mostly me. I just will like at random intervals, we'll just say whistle.
Yeah.
Whistle. Roy Kent fan, y'all. Anyways.
I love it. As I'm sitting here petting Lucky, Lucky was Roy Kent the year we did a family costume.
Oh my God. Yes.
That was a family costume.
Saw,
so
yes.
Eric was Ted.
Yes.
I'll have to post a link to the picture or something. It's in my Instagram somewhere. Eric was Ted Lasso. I was Keeley. Our dog was Roy Kent. We just put him in a black t-shirt.
So cute.
Because he always growls, you know?
Yes.
And then JJ was Jamie Tart. And we got that hat that says Icon on it.
Oh, stop.
He was a baby, so we just put him a little, yeah.
Oh, you and Eric are fun.
We have a good time.
Yeah,
that's like, good. I think Eric's got like a little bit of Ted and a little bit of Roy Kent in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we can all do.
Who
or
else?
Like of those Ted characters.
Yeah.
I think that's it. That's like, someone said something about Captain Isaac, but I think we can wrap it up. We can record our next episode.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, we covered all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All the things in there. So,
all
okay.
Right, friends,
thanks for
fun.
Listening. All right. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram, @itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then, take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.